You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
3, 2, 1.
When I'm working out, I love to listen to your podcast.
Whenever you say something, other people react to it.
Taking my breath away, Aaron.
Vern Lundquist joins me. Hall of Famer.
Welcome in!
Episode NASCAR icon Dale 54. Earnhardt Jr.
Kirk
Herbstreit is on the phone.
Air Force Sports Podcast.
Yeah.
It is Tuesday night, March 12th, 2024. People, also maybe Wednesday, March 13th. 2024 people. Hope everybody's doing well. Hope everybody is having a great day. We got ourselves an action-packed Wednesday episode of the Aaron Torres Pod Tuesday night if you are listening on YouTube. Today, it's pretty straightforward. Conference championships started on Tuesday. All of the big conferences will be in play in action on Wednesday. I'm going to go ahead and go all six power conferences, give you my preview, give you my picks, and talk about really what's at stake. The teams that are on the bubble, the teams that are on the wrong side of the bubble, everything that has to happen in all of these conferences. Then we'll have a really fun interview with Morehead State coach Preston Spradlin. Okay, so Morehead State was the first team to clinch an NCAA tournament bid back on Saturday. I talked to him earlier this week. It was a fun interview. We talk about the conference championship, the pressure of being in one of these small conferences. And oh, by the way, what do you do when you're a coach on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and you're not playing again until the bracket comes out a week on Sunday and then a week from now? So fun interview with Preston Spradlin. Really excited to get rolling. Before we start, though, I have a little bit of a major announcement, okay? So I have been teasing this and plugging this and talking about this for a couple weeks now as we get close to the March Madness, to the NCAA tournament, all that good stuff. And that is that over the next couple days, producer Matt and I will be in Vegas. And around this time, about 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern time, we will be doing live shows from Stadium Swim at Circa Sportsbook and Casino. Okay, so Circa is incredible. I have been there before. Stadium Swim, you have all seen it. Incredible spot. It is an outdoor pool. They got TVs everywhere, huge screens, heated pools. It's open 365 days a year, and they're really ramping up here for March Madness. They're open every single day, open on Thanksgiving for the NFL, Christmas for the NBA, and they are going to be rocking for March Madness. Should mention next weekend, the weekend after that, if you're in Vegas, check out Stadium Swim. They're going to have an incredible setup for the Masters. I was actually talking to them today. But I will be there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night shows, 8 p.m. Pacific. So make sure, stop by, tell us you said what's up, tell them you love Torres. They'll let you right in, and we will have an awful lot of fun. We may even be doing early morning preview shows on Thursday and Friday. We will see about that, but I'll be in Vegas. We'll go to the Pac-12 tournament, and then shows at night at 11 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Couple other announcements. Listen, you don't have to wait until the bracket comes out to join the Aaron Torres Pod Bracket Challenge. I am so fired up. For the fourth straight year, we are working with our friends at bracketfanatics.com. And here's the cool part. They are giving us a huge prize pool to get a part of. You can get part of it right now. Bracketfanatics.com sponsored bracket. If you click the sponsored bracket tab, you will see my name. You'll see the Aaron Torres podcast logo. $1,000 prize pool going to the top three winners. So sign up. You can sign up right now. If you have signed up before, just enter your email and you're automatically in. But again, bracketfanatics.com. Bracketfanatics.com sponsored brackets. Appreciate their support. And I also appreciate the support of BetUS Sportsbook. BetUS has been with us all March long. We love working with them. And as I keep telling you, they have the best offer going in all of sports betting, okay? How about this? 125%
deposit bonus, 125% deposit bonus on your first three deposits. That is courtesy of BetUS Sportsbook. Go ahead, click the link in the show description. Take advantage of that offer now. BetUS Sportsbook, we appreciate BetUS's support. All right, so it is Champ Week. And listen, let me just say this. Let's not beat around the bush. Let's get right into it. We have a bunch of auto bids that have already been clinched, including Morehead State. We will talk to their coach here in just a little bit. Also worth noting, a couple other auto bids went out on Monday night. Charleston won the CAA. Congrats to them. Oakland, not out of not out of California, but instead out of Oakland, Michigan. Greg Campy, 40 years as a head coach. They win the Horizon. That is an incredible stat. 40 years as a head coach, and he's going back to the NCAA tournament. Wagner beats Merrimack in their conference. A little bit of a bummer for me. Central Connecticut won the regular season, small school in Connecticut. But congrats again to Wagner, 16-15 during the season, but they get into the NCAA tournament. With that said, on top of those three bids, two more will come later tonight. But the story to me is that by the time you wake up tomorrow on Wednesday, every major conference will be in action. Conference tournaments. I've said this for years. I believe conference championship week is the best week of the year on the sports calendar. Look, I love the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. But remember, first weekend of the NCAA tournament, teams only play twice. Usually one of the games is against an overmatched opponent. This week, you get a UConn, a Houston, a Purdue, a Kentucky, a Tennessee, whoever's your team. Three times, high-level games, great games. I am so excited. And so what I want to go ahead and do now is go ahead and give you my picks on all six major conferences and just kind of let you know what is at stake. Let's go ahead and start in the ACC. If you're watching on YouTube, producer Matt, I believe we have the brackets available for a quick pop-up. So if you're watching on YouTube, you can see that ACC bracket. North Carolina, Duke, and Clemson, very interestingly, are really the only teams that already have NCAA tournament spots clinched. And so what's interesting is you enter this tournament with three teams on the bubble, three teams locked in. And so this will be a bubble battle. By the way, I think it speaks to how bad the ACC has been. Louisville, by the way, lost on Tuesday. They're going to have a new head coach. They got to get things going because Louisville, Syracuse, Notre Dame, these are the type of programs that should be the third, fourth, fifth, sixth best teams in the ACC. They are god-awful. But in this NIL portal era, they're falling behind. It's been a Duke Carolina league. Clemson is in, and just about everybody else is battling for just for their lives at this point in this tournament. So let's get into it. I think to me, the big story is if you've taken a chance to look at the bracket, what you need to know, Pitt, Wake Forest, and Virginia are all on the bubble. Pitt is the 4 seed. Wake Forest is the 5 seed. Why is that important? If Wake Forest wins Wednesday, it will be Pitt versus Wake, and that game essentially is a loser-leaves-town game. I don't think either team can get in losing this game. It's worth noting Wake Forest is kind of in a bad situation because they gain nothing by playing Notre Dame on Wednesday. If they lose, it's a bad loss. If they win, it's not a good win. So I think either one of these teams probably has to win this game and then has to beat North Carolina. And that's where the bubble picture would get interesting if they beat North Carolina. I don't think they will. I do think Wake wins, but is that going to be enough to get them in? I'm not sure. If Wake doesn't get in, they have nobody to blame but themselves. They were in position after that Duke game, stormed the court. We all know the story. They lost back-to-back games after that, and they're fighting for their lives. I think Carolina knocks the winner of that game, which will be Wake Forest, out in the semifinals. And from that point, I think on the bottom half of the bracket is where things get interesting. Clemson is the 6th seed. I actually think Clemson matches up well with Virginia, who is terrible, can't score 50 points against anybody. And then also, I think they actually match up well with Duke. These two teams played earlier in the year at Cameron Indoor. Duke wins by 2. I have a little bit of an upset in the ACC. Go ahead and give me Carolina from the top of the bracket, Clemson from the bottom of the bracket. And I do like North Carolina to win. When I say an upset, what I mean is the 6th seed Clemson, I think, makes the title game. I don't think they can beat Carolina. I don't think they can beat Virginia, Duke, and Carolina all back to back. And then where I think it gets interesting is, depending on what other stuff happens across the country, if Wake loses, you know, if Wake beats Pitt, if Carolina beats Wake, and if Clemson knocks out Virginia, I think we're looking at a three-bid ACC. They have nobody to blame but themselves. But give me North Carolina to win the ACC tournament. Again, all the good teams will be in action on Thursday, but the action really picks up on Wednesday. Wednesday, if you're listening on podcast today, Wake Forest absolutely has to win the game against Notre Dame. That is the one to keep an eye on Wednesday. Let's go ahead and go down to the Big 12 bracket. Big 12 is underway. Two games have already been played. UCF just smacked the you-know-what out of Oklahoma State in the first game of that tournament. And then in the second game of that tournament, it is worth noting that Cincinnati does beat West Virginia. So West Virginia, by the way, they will probably start their coaching search in earnest because, of course, they have had an interim head coach all year long. Big game that you need to know in the Big 12. The 8-9 game, which is Wednesday afternoon, TCU, Oklahoma. It's not quite what I just said about Wake and Pitt, because I think either team could get in with a loss, but I think both teams are definitively in with a win, if that makes sense. TCU is on the bubble. Oklahoma's on the fringes of the bubble. Whoever loses this game is going to have a nervous couple days in the lead up to Selection Sunday. But I don't think it precludes them from getting in. I just think it would help the resume. Oklahoma can probably afford a loss a little bit more. And then where I think it gets interesting is, listen, Houston's awesome, but the rest of this bracket is wide open. Because at the end of the day, remember, Kansas is down its top two players. Hunter Dickinson will not play. Kevin McCullough will not play. Bill Self basically is punting on the Big 12 tournament and saying, I'm going to give my best two players 2 weeks off, try to get healthy. So top half of the bracket, where I could see it getting interesting, if you have looked at the bracket, BYU is the 5, Texas Tech is the 4. Central Florida is coming in, UCF playing pretty good basketball right now. Remember, UCF has had good success throughout the regular season. They won at Texas. That was the infamous Rodney Terry horns down game. They beat Kansas at home. They beat Texas Tech at home. They're a good basketball team. I could see the scenario where after winning on Tuesday, they pull the upset Wednesday against BYU, the upset against Texas Tech on Thursday. But none of it matters because they're on the wrong side of the bracket. Houston would be their semifinal game. I think Houston cruises to a Big 12 championship game appearance on the one half of the bracket. The other half of the bracket is where it gets interesting. Kansas, as I said, is a 6 seed, will play Cincinnati. I think they survive Wednesday. Don't think they can survive 3 seed Baylor. And here's where I think it gets interesting. I actually think Texas is a unique matchup for Iowa State. Texas is playing its best basketball of late, 4 of 6 wins over the last, 4 wins in their last 6 games. And I think they can pull off the upset and beat Iowa State. If Iowa State wins this, I think they're playing Houston for a title. I think if Texas wins that game, they're playing Houston for a title. So give me Texas to pull off the upset against Iowa State and Baylor. Houston against Texas in the championship game. And in the final game for Texas in the Big 12, horns down, because they ain't beating Houston. I'm sorry, but they are not beating Houston. Let's keep it going. We're talking conference championship previews. If you're just joining us, we appreciate your support. Make sure to lock in, plug in. By the way, drop some comments, share your picks, whatever it is that you want to do, however it is that you want to contribute to this show, feel free to, like I said, plug in, drop in, do whatever. Want to keep it going, though, and I do want to get to the Big East. Big East is very interesting, and it's not only very interesting. The interest starts tonight, because tonight, as you can see on your screen there, 6-seed Villanova plays 11-seed DePaul. 7-seed Providence plays Georgetown. I should note, when I say tonight, if you're watching on YouTube, it's tomorrow. I'm trying to be cognizant of the Twitter or the podcast audience, excuse me. But the big story there, Providence, first of all, playing Georgetown, which is interesting in and of itself. And then on top of that, Villanova is playing in their side of the bracket. They are playing DePaul. You got to win that one. But I think what's interesting about that, and by the way, producer Matt, you can drop the graphic now because my face, my pretty face, we got to get that back on. But But so Villanova and Providence, you just saw the bracket. Both of them have to win Wednesday. Here's the thing, though. I think both of them have to win Thursday as well if they want serious bubble consideration. Now, I don't think Providence can do it. I don't think they can beat Creighton. Where it potentially gets interesting, though, I could see the scenario where Villanova beats Marquette. Even still, Villanova is going to be a point of contention with fans, because remember, this is a team that has, what, 14, 15 losses. If they don't win the Big East tournament, I mean, we're talking about a 15-loss team. It's hard to justify putting them in, but those are the two intriguing teams on the bottom of the bracket. Then at the top of the bracket, UConn's the one seed, but the 4-5 game, Seton Hall, St. John's, you could argue is as important as any game in the opening round of these conference tournaments. Seton Hall, Joe Lunardi's next four in. St. John's, last four in. And really, it's kind of a TCU-Oklahoma situation, and really more Wake Pitt, where whoever wins this game, their work is not done. But whoever loses this game is going to be sweating come Selection Sunday. I think Seton Hall can probably afford a loss more than St. John's can. St. John's loses, it's going to be a tough conversation. If St. John's wins, I think at worst they're going to Dayton for the first four, and they are probably in. I still think Seton Hall gets in. They got some really good wins on the resume. Beat UConn, beat Marquette. You know, they've played some really good teams and played them well. In terms of the how the bracket breaks, listen, I think UConn's steamrolling either Butler or Xavier. And where it gets interesting, the UConn matchup with either Seton Hall or St. John's in the semifinals. One, the Garden's going to be rocking. You heard from Hassan Diar earlier in the week about what that game means to UConn fans and how much it means to UConn players. But at the same time, Seton Hall beat UConn earlier this year. St. John's, I watched both those games. UConn fans will deny it. St. John's gave UConn some fits. They played before Christmas in Hartford. St. John's gave them trouble. And then in the second game at MSG, the final score was one-sided. But it was a close game till there was about 8-10 minutes left, and then UConn just hit another gear. So I don't think UConn's losing. I could see it, though. I have UConn advancing where they will play Creighton. Boring 1-2 matchup in that side of the pool. By the way, UConn is obviously the overwhelming favorite in that in that side of the bracket. But listen, I do think UConn is going to win. I do think they are going to beat Creighton. And I think Creighton's playing really well. There's two reasons I like UConn to win this tournament. One, Creighton just beat them. And so if you want to talk about a team that is going to be motivated, is going to be inspired, there is no doubt that UConn is going to be that team. Zero doubt. But remember, UConn did not win the Big East tournament last year. They won the national championship. They didn't win the Big East regular season. They didn't win the Big East tournament. So where that gets interesting, this is the one thing that UConn has not done under Dan Hurley. They've won a national championship. They won a Big East regular season title. They just had the best regular season in school history. They want that piece of hardware, though. They want that Big East tournament trophy. I believe they get it. I have UConn winning the Big East. Keep it going with a couple other tournaments. Pac-12, again, if you're just tuning in, if you are going to be in Vegas, we will be at Stadium Swim in Vegas Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night. We're going to be having some fun. We're going to be doing some live shows from Stadium Swim, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 Eastern, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. If you can't be there, by the way, no worries. These will all be live. You can watch in on the fun from your couch. In terms of this league, what's interesting about this tournament, you can see it right there. Arizona's the one seed. They will have by far the most fans at that tournament. But where it gets interesting, you see who they could potentially play in the second round? They could potentially play the USC Trojans in the second round. Now, I know everybody thinks USC stinks and da-da-da-da and this and that. They've had so many injuries this year. They've just finally got healthy. And did you see what they did the last time they took the court? They beat the Arizona Wildcats. So you talk about the one tournament where I think the one seed could be out early. I just think Arizona has to be ready. I don't see them losing, but I think they could, and I think that's worth monitoring. Bottom half of the bracket, the only real intrigue, Colorado is a bubble team. They are the 3 seed. If they win, you know, they really, the first win won't do much for them. A win over Utah will help. They'll play the winner of Utah, Arizona State. A win over Utah would help. I don't think it's enough. I think they have to beat Washington State. And I'll be blunt. I do not think that they are beating Washington State. So go ahead and give me Arizona versus Washington State in the Pac-12 championship game. What gets interesting there, again, remember, we all know what is at stake here. Last Pac-12 championship, Washington State booted from the league. They're going to their first NCAA tournament since 2009. But you don't think they would like to give those double birds to the Pac-12 on the way out? I think they would, but I just can't pick them to beat Arizona. I know they've beaten Arizona twice in the regular season. One, they say it's really hard to win a third straight time. Two, if you've ever been to the Pac-12 tournament, if you haven't been, now's the year to do it because there ain't going to be one after this year. But Arizona fans are like 95% of the fans. Arizona has a great, passionate fan base that travels for that event, and I do like Arizona to win. Let's go ahead and wrap with the two major tournaments that end on Sunday. Let's start in the SEC. Only promise that I can make you at the SEC, no matter who wins this thing, they're going to be pissed off on Selection Sunday because they're going to feel like they're misseeded. Yes, Kentucky fans know what I'm talking about. Yes, Tennessee fans know what I'm talking about. Feels like no matter what happens in the championship game, no one is ever rewarded. The big story here, let's skip. You know, there are three games on Wednesday. I think we could skip all of them. I think all those fan bases are depressed. They want their seasons to be over. Or two games on Wednesday, excuse me. Arkansas fans are ready to hit the portal. Missouri fans are ready to hit the portal. Georgia fans are ready for spring football. So let's get to Wednesday because there are two very important bubble games. First one, Mississippi State LSU. They play the early game, 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 Central. Mississippi State has to win this game. If they win this game, I think they're in. If they lose this game, though, I do think there is a distinct possibility that they are at the very least sweating on Selection Sunday, and I think they might be on the wrong side of the bracket. Later, night game. This would be on Thursday, remember, because the top four don't play until Friday. Texas A&M Ole Miss. They just played to end the regular season. Texas A&M won. Texas A&M has to win this game, and I think they got to beat Kentucky to be a serious tournament contender. I don't think they're doing it. Weird team all year. Think they're done. Bring it up because this bracket overall is very interesting. And where I think it gets interesting is Friday. Top four seeds are Tennessee 1 seed, Kentucky 2 seed, Bama 3, Auburn 4. I think we could see some upsets that first day. I think South Carolina is a tough matchup for Auburn. I think Florida is a very tough matchup for Alabama. I could see the 4 and 3 seeds both losing. I don't think Kentucky's losing to A&M. I don't think Tennessee is losing to either Mississippi State or LSU. Sets up an interesting semifinal, that Kentucky-Florida game. That over-under might be like 250 points. That's going to be like an NBA game. But that would be, if you have a chance to be in front of a TV, that will be one of the best games of Champ Week. Make sure to check that out. I have Kentucky winning. I have Tennessee winning. And then I think it's Tennessee-Kentucky round three. Now, I could see that one going either way. But when I think about this game, it's almost what I just said about Arizona. Kentucky has the definitive home court advantage, even in Nashville. And I just like how this would line up for Kentucky. I also think Kentucky puts Tennessee in a tough spot because Tennessee is elite defensively. But as we saw on Saturday at Thompson Bowling Arena, Dalton Kadek went for 40 and it wasn't enough. And I wonder if it's the same game plan against Tennessee. Just run them off the court, put up 90, make somebody other than Dalton Kadek beat you. I like Kentucky to win the SEC tournament. Finally, and we'll get to Preston Spradlin, the head coach of the Moorhead State Eagles after this. Let's talk Big Ten. Everybody knows Torres loves his Purdue Boilermakers. Purdue. Nobody loves anything more than Torres loves Purdue. They are the 1 seed here. Intriguing bracket. So listen, I've said for years the Big Ten is overrated, but how about this? Just think about this bracket. Purdue's the 1 seed. Illinois is the 2. Nebraska is the 3. Northwestern is the 4. Now, I want to give them credit. I'm not going to dig at them. But it shows you it's a weird year when Nebraska gets the 3 seed, Northwestern the 4, Michigan, Rutgers, Maryland, who have been perennial tournament teams, are all playing on Wednesday. Juwan Howard, it'll be interesting when this season ends, what he does. I think he tries to get back to the NBA. I don't think Michigan wants to fire him. That would be interesting. But I'll say this. I think that Thursday game with the Thursday where the top four seeds aren't even playing is kind of an intriguing day. Let me tell you why. First off, Michigan State in the 8-9 game. Michigan State, along with Nova, is kind of the poster child of the computers like you, but you've lost a crap ton of games, and that's the one where people will be outraged. If Michigan State loses this game and makes the tournament, people will be pissed come Selection Sunday because they'll say, why are we putting in an 18-14 Michigan State team? Definitely have to win this game. Don't think they'll beat Purdue. If they win this game, they're probably okay, but got to win this one. Where it also gets interesting to me is the night game. Ohio State, Iowa, okay? So Iowa is clearly on the bubble. Iowa's clearly got to win. But Ohio State is really interesting. 5-1 under interim head coach Jake Diebler since Chris Holman's been fired. And I was looking at their stuff today, okay? So I'm not a bracketology expert, okay? I'm not Joe Lunardi. I'm not crunching the numbers. I don't claim to be. But at the same time, Ohio State enters this tournament. They are 19-12 overall. They have some solid out-of-conference wins. Remember, they won against Alabama on a neutral court. They beat UCLA. Not a great win, but it's okay. Beat West Virginia. So I just bring it up because they're 19-12. If they beat Iowa, and let's just say for the sake of the argument, they win against Illinois in the quarterfinals. Are they now on the bubble? Because I kind of think they would be. And then if they're on the bubble, if they make the tournament, do they keep the interim head coach? Interesting to think about. Indiana, by the way, quietly has won 4 in a row, bottom half of the bracket. Now, once we get deeper into the bracket, I think the cream's going to rise to the top. Listen, I could sit here and break down the whole thing. I like Purdue to play in the championship game on that one side of the bracket. I know I've been critical of Purdue. I know Purdue fans think I hate them. I don't. I think they roll to the championship game. Bottom half of the bracket, I'll give you a little bit of an upset. I actually like those Nebraska Cornhuskers to beat Illinois. Illinois basically stopped playing defense sometime around Thanksgiving or around Valentine's Day. I'm not totally sure why, but now they play Nebraska. Nebraska shoots the crap out of the ball. Spacing, ball movement, all that good stuff. So give me Nebraska over Illinois, Nebraska versus Purdue for the championship, and I have Purdue winning it all. So ultimately, not a ton of surprises. I do have North Carolina over Clemson in the ACC. I do have Houston over Texas in the Big 12. I have UConn over Creighton in the Big East. Those are the top two seeds. I have Arizona over Washington State in the Pac-12. Those are the top two seeds. I have Kentucky over Tennessee, 2-1. And then a little bit of a surprise in the Big 10. I do have Purdue beating Nebraska. Do we have any interesting questions, producer Matt? Because we got to get to a this. Okay. Duh Hero says, majority of the SEC teams going to advance further in the NCAA tournament than other Power 5 conferences. Listen, a couple thoughts. One, the Big Ten, I don't think the Big Ten has more than one, maybe two teams that can get out of the first weekend. I do like the Big East teams. I think they're tough. They play tough. They're physical, whatever. The Big 12 is going to be the interesting one, though, because there are a lot of people in basketball, as Brad Brownell mentioned, that believe they have tricked the computers. By the way, if you didn't listen to the Will Wade interview the other day, make sure to check it out. I know a lot of you think you know Will Wade. It was a fascinating interview, but where it gets really interesting, Will Wade basically explained how you trick the net to look higher. His exact quote, I went back and listened to it. He said, "We were better in the net than we were as a team when I was at LSU. But we knew how to schedule to get to where we needed to go." And so the Big 12 has done that. So listen, if all these teams lose early, that is going to be an indictment on the Big 12. They might have to tweak the net. The ACC, I can't see anybody other than North Carolina, maybe Duke making it to the second weekend. I think those SEC teams are built to succeed in March. Kentucky, I believe, is going far. Tennessee is going far. I like Florida a lot. I think Auburn, South Carolina with the right bracket. Anything else before we get to some of our sponsors and then Preston Spradlin, the head coach of the Morehead State Eagles? Anything else? Okay. Aaron, hardest working guy in media. How many hours you work? Pressure washing by Sterling. Sterling, here's the deal. By the way, my dog's best friend is named Sterling, but neither here nor there. I work hard, but I love what I do. So do I work hard? I don't know. Do I work harder than anybody else? Sterling, you probably kill it at the pressure washing spot. You probably put in crazy hours, but that is your passion. This is my passion. It's what I love to do. And more than anything, I appreciate everybody's support and thank everybody for what they do, because the only reason I get to do this is because of you guys and girls that get that support this show, that log on to YouTube, that download the podcast. By the way, even if you watch on YouTube, you can still download the podcast, help your boy Torres out. But thank you to Sterling, pressure washer from Sterling. Just work really hard. Thanks for all the updates and fair takes. Listen, you know, this is what we do. You know, I get criticized all the time. Oh, Torres loves this team. Torres loves that team. I will say this. I think I have stronger, tougher opinions on everybody. Everybody in the media wants to go soft on everything. You know, I'm the opposite. I mean, people are like, oh, Torres loves Alabama. Nobody criticized Alabama more when Nick Saban decided to play Jermaine Burton after he shoved a Tennessee fan. I crushed John Calipari for like 3 years. Now he's awesome. What am I supposed to do? Not give him credit for being awesome? You know, Tennessee, it speaks for itself. Texas A&M. I go on Aggie radio every week and tell them how much their basketball team stinks. Ask David Nuno, Texas Aggs. I tell them. So, you know, I appreciate your support. And it's just like, you know, this idea that I'm somehow like biased towards some teams. It's absurd. By the way, you want to see who's really biased? Who's the only person in the media that's called out Duke this entire week? I put up a solo video that's not going to make this podcast. 72 hours. 72 hours, no one has mentioned besides me that Duke fans were throwing stuff at UNC's basketball players. Torres, as Colin Cowherd says, honesty broker. I don't hide from anything. Anything else before we get to some of our advertisers? By the way, you guys are going to love the interview with Preston Spradlin, head coach Morehead State. They clinched the NCAA tournament just the other day. He's going to take you behind the scenes, what it's like. And then, oh, by the way, just really, I think you're going to enjoy the video. So I'll tell you what, producer Matt, let's take a word from our sponsors. We'll come back, a couple more things, and then we will get to Morehead State coach Preston Spradlin.
America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer. A 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. Plus 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
All right, everybody. All right, back. Good to be back. Good to be back. Right before we get to Preston Spradlin, couple reminders. One, first of all, thank you to BetUS. They're awesome. 125% deposit bonus. First three deposits. Click the link. Support Torres. That really goes a long way. Two, reminder, bracketfanatics.com, sponsored bracket, bracket named Torres. Okay, so you go to sponsor brackets, you'll see my logo, click there, you can sign up even before the bracket comes out. And I should mention, by the way, one more thing, you can start your own brackets at bracketfanatics.com, okay? So that's the great part. Bracketfanatics.com not only allows you to join my bracket, but you can also join other brackets as well. All you got to do is click that start a bracket tab. And here's the cool part, right? Is that you can start a bracket, invite your friends, and here's the cool thing. Is that if it's a, you could do a free bracket like mine. Mine is free to enter, by the way, $0.00. It's, what do they call it? 0.99 or whatever, free 99. That's what mine is. But if you want to do a bracket, bracketfanatics.com, you start your own bracket. You can do a pay bracket. And the cool part is everybody pays at bracketfanatics.com. So you don't have to chase down doors from accounting or your frat brother that's always late with his stuff. No. You start your own bracket. Everybody pays on there. You fill out a bracket. The money gets collected there. The money gets sent out there. You don't have to go looking for anything. Better than the competitors. Screw Yahoo. Screw ESPN. No. Bracket Fanatics is the way to go. Start a bracket. Join my sponsored bracket. Appreciate Bracket Fanatics. And again, for one final time, if you are in Vegas this week, let's meet up. Stadium Swim at Circa Sportsbook. We will be doing live shows Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night at 8 Pacific. That said, there's no more time to waste. I want to toss now to a very interesting interview. Morehead State coach Preston Spradlin, they won the OVC on Saturday night. He takes you into the pressure of being in a one-bid league. He takes you to what does a coach, a staff, a team do when you clinch on Saturday and everybody else is playing. So let's go to now my interview with Morehead State coach Preston Spradlin. Coming to the Aaron Torres Podcast YouTube page, if you could do me a quick favor, See that little subscribe button at the bottom of your screen? Go ahead, click that subscribe button. Really does help our channel grow, our audience grow, and I really do appreciate it more than you know. So click that subscribe button. Appreciate your support. Now, here's the video that you came here for. All right, joining me via Zoom, the head coach of the Ohio Valley Conference champion, the Moorhead State Eagles, first team to punch their ticket to the NCAA tournament. We did this a few years ago. I am so fired up to be doing it again. Coach Preston Spradlin. Coach, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing well, brother. Very blessed and excited, you know, to get this cranked up, get ready for the NCAA tournament, and, you know, just thankful for the opportunity.
I don't think I asked you this last time, so I'll ask you. You know, one, it's incredible to be part of that field, but how nice is it to clinch on Saturday? You get it, or is it nice? You know, is it too much time off? Do you enjoy the time off? Do you enjoy watching the other conference tournaments? Do you enjoy getting to relax a little bit? Or is it like, crap, we just played 3 games in 3 days. I don't want to wait another 14 days to play a game.
No, it's, you know, first of all, I'm always going to find the positive side of everything. Okay. But it's great. I mean, we get, first of all, we're the first, you know, team to, you know, be in the field, and that's obviously just garners a lot of attention for our university and our community and our players, and obviously that's wonderful. But man, I have no idea who we're playing. I haven't even met with my staff this morning. I'm at home, and I think we might start practice back on Wednesday. And so, you know, it's really nice. It is really nice to catch your breath, be able to just enjoy it. And as you said, you get to actually enjoy March Madness a little bit. You know, we got home yesterday, we had a parade and people and everything, which was really nice. And then we came home, and as a family, we sat down and we watched, you know, 3 other conference championships and got a chance to, you know, text friends and respond. And then late last night, we actually sat down and we watched our championship game as a family. Wow. Because I know once I go into the office and watch it and start cutting up, you know, clips and stuff from a coach's perspective, I'm going to see it very differently. So it was nice to watch it as a fan and just hear what the commentators are saying, the crowd shots and all those different things. And so, I think it's an unbelievable blessing. You know, there's going to be a ton of great conference games or conference tournament games going on throughout the week. We get to enjoy those. But sadly for a lot of those coaches and teams, yeah, they have to turn right back around and shift their focus, you know, towards the NCAA tournament. And so it's a great balance that we get a chance to enjoy our championship.
Man, you know, you got a great basketball family when, you know, you probably haven't had as much time to spend with them as you want. You know, portal season's coming up. So March and April are going to be busy. You say, honey, let's watch the A-Sun, the A-Sun title game, you know?
Yeah, no question. It's so funny. Like, you know, a coach's kids and a coach's wife, you know, my family is, they're the epitome of that. And so, you know, it's just amazing that we spend so much time watching college basketball, you know, not just watching Moorhead State, but we're fans of everybody and connecting with friends and all of that. But you know, our family gets to travel with us to the tournament, the OVC tournament, and then obviously to the NCAA. And so it's amazing. You know, they get a chance to experience all of those things. And my kids got to climb the ladder and cut the net with me this year. They didn't get the chance to do that 4 years ago due to COVID. And so in a lot of ways, you know, 4 years removed from a championship during the COVID year, this one is in a lot of ways more special because we get to experience everything that comes with it.
Fantastic. So today, and you said you probably won't practice till Wednesday. Are you just watching other basketball? I mean, what does a team do besides get to, you know, kind of kick your feet up, relax? Obviously, the players got to kind of get treatment and get healthy. But as a coaching staff, like, what do you guys do during this time?
You know, it's a lot of stuff. You know, obviously, we're planning a good chance for us to get out and do some recruiting. You know, here in the state of Kentucky, we've got the regional tournaments going on down in Tennessee. And so our staff is going to kind of disperse and make their way around to see some players and get out in the community a little bit. And so that's always a great opportunity to do that. You know, we'll watch our stuff. You know, we'll take a look and we'll say, hey, you know, what's some things that we have a chance to get better at over the next couple weeks once we give these guys the rest, give them a chance to get healthy and get them back on the court. And then kind of what's our overall game plan, you know, to work them back on the court, you know, what days we're going to give them off. Obviously, you're planning a selection show for Sunday, a party, a watch party, and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, Under Armour's calling, wanting to know, hey, we need to know who we're sending stuff to, what all that's going to be. We're designing championship hats and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, those things are really fun. And, you know, you look at a smaller university and athletics department where you're kind of all hands on deck. It's nice, you know, to have this week and to be involved in those things. I don't look at those as a burden at all. I look at them as a blessing that, hey, you know, as a head coach, I get to pick out the championship shirt that we're going to give to everybody and all that kind of stuff. And then obviously I've got the time to be able to do it. So it's a good mixture, but, I think, you know, taking a break and not getting on the court, for a few days is very important for us from a lot of standpoints, but especially the health standpoint. You know, we play about 6.5 guys. So 3 games in 3 days, you know, you had the OVC player of the year, Riley Minix, played, you know, 115 minutes in 3 days. And so he needs a couple of days off. He needs to be rested.
So you mentioned, so you guys had a parade, you know, when you came back on Sunday. Talk us, you know, because I look, we all, I think, fortunately or unfortunately, it's just the reality is we look at everything mostly through, I hate to say it, the high major lens, right? Is that, you know, the Kansases and the Kentuckys, whatever. The point I'm trying to make, like, how much does it mean for your community, for your school, even to just like yet back-to-back nationally televised games? I have to imagine that that's big for you guys. I mean, how big is this whole thing? Obviously, with the caveat that you guys were fortunate, it's not the right word, but you know, you won it, so it makes it a little bit easier. But how big is this last 4 or 5 days of the next, you know, 10 days or so going forward?
It's huge. You know, I mentioned just, you know, 4 years ago, the number of interviews and things like that. And it's big for everyone, right? It's an opportunity for our program, for our players, for everyone to tell their story and, you know, really shed some light on, you know, the way that we do things here and try to share that message. But it's great for our conference. It's terrific for our school as well. You know, there's a direct correlation to, you know, number of applications that come in to the number of nationally televised games that we have, you know, and our admissions department keeps up with all of those things. And they send me those messages and they say, hey, coach, thanks for a great showing last night, you know, on ESPNU or whatever it is, because, you know, it elevates everything. And I think there's very few things at any university that has the ability to just completely elevate every department, every office, and every person. And that's college basketball, and that's March Madness. And so the gravity of just, you know, being able to be a part of that is huge. It's huge for us on a personal level, but on a professional level and administratively, it's immense.
I know I've asked you this before, and I'm sure you probably get asked this, but for the fan that is the Kentucky fan, the Kansas fan, the UConn fan, that they've known, you know, basically since the season tip, you know, we're going to be part of March Madness. Take us through what it is like for you, your players, your staff, a year's worth of work dating back to when the team came together, probably May, June of last year. I hate to say it really kind of comes down to one weekend, but, you know, I had Will Wade on the show earlier in the week, and he said, he's like, when I signed up for the McNeese job, I knew and I told my players, we're a one bid league and it's going to come down to what we do in our conference tournament for them, which has not yet happened. They haven't taken the court. I bring it up from, take us through like the pressure, the stress, the anxiety, the fun, the relief, whatever those emotions are, knowing how much is at stake for those 3 or 4 nights in the conference tournament for you guys.
Yeah, I tell you, I think that's a great question for this team, because you look at last season. You know, we won the regular season outright title with 3 games left in the season. Hmm. And we didn't have a great celebration about it. You know, it was almost every player on our team just had, you know, was quoting Kobe Bryant with the job's not finished, job's not finished. And I didn't really kind of, you know, step up and say, hey, guys, let's enjoy this. And we should have, because especially last year, it was the first time in 39 years that Morehead State had won a regular season outright title. And so we kind of just carried that badge for a week or so, and we took a picture on the court at our place after senior day. Guys were about half smiling, to be honest with you, and we didn't cut down the nets. We didn't do any of that. And so we really had our eyes set on the OVC tournament. And that was the wrong approach because we were just so we were tight. We really were. I was. I had this business-like approach. I was walking around with a scowl on my face of like, hey, you know, we're not laughing. We're here for business and all this kind of stuff. And then when we got to the OVC tournament, that's how we played. We played. And thankfully, you know, we got another opportunity last year to go to the NIT. And I learned from that experience because, you know, the 10 or so days getting ready for the NIT, we kept it loose. We kept it fun. And that really served us well because we go to Clemson and upset those guys. And so coming into this year, it was a perfect balance. We had, you know, we had a bad taste in our mouth from, you know, not finishing the job in Evansville at the OVC tournament last year. So we had a great hunger, but we also had great confidence that we could, you know, knock off an ACC school and all those different types of things. And so this year we kept it really loose, Aaron. We really did. We kept it fun. You know, it doesn't mean that we didn't practice hard or we weren't demanding or intense. We certainly were. But at the same time, like, we just wanted the guys to feel relaxed. And I knew that started with me. And we just tried to you know, keep it as fun as we could, but also keep our guys organized. And keep them locked in. And I think that served us really well because, you know, at the end of the day, when you get to March, you get to the postseason, it's all about who wants to extend their season and, you know, who wants to have one more day together. And so we really, we made that the theme of our week. And, you know, we didn't talk about, you know, the magnitude of a game or anything like that. We didn't magnify mistakes or anything. We just said, hey, let's one more day together, one more team meal, one more bus ride. You know, one more film session and an opportunity to get better and challenge ourselves. And so keeping our focus on that, I think really served us well this postseason.
So, you know, kind of in that vein, right? So this is now, you know, conference tournaments are underway. Some bids have been clinched, as obviously you and your family watched on Sunday. Another question I think you'd be have great perspective on is, you know, so as an example, Indiana State, Drake are two excellent teams. They play in the conference tournament. Obviously only one team can win. And the discourse immediately becomes about like Indiana State. And then we look at their team sheet and they only have this many this and this many that, and their opponents were this and their opponent were that. And somebody like me, who's maybe a little bit more embedded in the sport, kind of understands how hard it is to get, you know, quality games in any type of situation, let alone in any type of advantageous situation that isn't a true home court environment for the opposing team, where you're going to, you know, Rupp and playing in front of 18,000 or Coleman Coliseum. I know you guys played Alabama. Take us through like how, like for any of these schools, but especially a school where you kind of know on paper, okay, Morehead's had success, so they're going to be good. And this isn't a knock on anybody, by the way, but how hard it is to kind of put together a schedule, how hard it is to get, because I just don't think fans understand. They just say, well, they have a couple really bad losses and who did they beat in the non-con? It's like, well, who's willing to play them in the non-con is to me the more interesting question. So I don't know how much, I know you don't want to talk about other teams specifically, but I feel like you probably have some pretty good perspective on that.
Yeah, without question, you know, an NES State, unbelievable season. Them and Drake, you know, those are two NCAA tournament teams. You know that. I think that's what you're hinting at there. When you look at them, you watch them play, the body of work. Unfortunately, there's just so many metrics that go into it. And the scheduling part, you're at a huge disadvantage. You really, truly are. You know, when you're at Morehead State, you know, you don't have the ability to pay for home games. You just don't. Okay, so if you're going to get a home game, it's going to be a like-level opponent. It's going to be a series that you strike up with them. And more often than not, it's going to be something that is, you know, typically regional that you can make a bus ride out of, and that's how you get it done. But, you know, we do have to play, you know, bye games a year, you know, from a financial standpoint, and that's fine. There's a lot of great things that come with that, the exposure, the experience. And like I told you in the beginning, we're always going to find the positive side of that. The hard part is that, you know, when you're looking at these games, you don't want to wear yourself out, right? So when we look at it, we say, okay, you know, what's the money? Is the money going to be what we need? What's the travel? Okay, so if we've got a home game against Mercer, you know, we got to make sure we protect that home game. We can't wear ourselves out, you know, traveling to Alabama and then Purdue to those games that are going to be difficult to win, as we know, not that we don't want to win them, but we can't cost ourselves a home game against a life-level opponent. So that's an important key for us as we're scheduling these. But it's been really hard from our standpoint because, you know, as these teams are putting their schedules together, they have a budget to work with, obviously, and it's a big one. They have certain dates they have to work with, right? So when you're trying to play Alabama, you're trying to play Purdue, Penn State, they're not playing you on a Saturday in November, okay? Those are football games, okay? So there's layers to it to where you've got to miss more school when you're at Morehead State because you've got to travel through the week because you can't play those big guys on Saturdays, football Saturdays. You know, then there's the component of, you know, the hotels, right? We had times this year, Aaron, that we played at those places where you go to your shoot around at 11 a.m. and you didn't go back to the hotel because you could not stay in that hotel because the hotel was going to be booked up for a 2-3 night minimum because there was a football game next day.
Ooh.
And that's the reality of it. So you got guys in a lobby, you know, laying with their feet up, trying to get rest for a game against a top 10 team on the road. And oh, by the way, it was a 6-hour drive to get there. And it's going to be a 6-hour drive going back home. So there's a lot of factors on our side of it. When you look at their side of it, they're building their net. They're building it for this week for Selection Sunday. And so for us, it's been really difficult to get the bottom half teams in the Power Fives to play us. It's been difficult because they don't want to run the risk of losing that game to us. So we typically have to play Alabama, Purdue, to Indiana, teams like that that are going to be at the upper half of their picked at the top of their leagues. And so the competition level for us at Morehead is more difficult. Indiana State's going to be the same thing. They're not going to be able to play the teams that are going to finish near the bottom of that league or at least projected in that way. And then something on the other side that hurts us is, you know, 3 weeks ago, Aaron, we were the number one defensive team in the nation. People don't talk about that. Okay. We were the number one per Ken Pom defensive team in the nation, Morehead State. And we're still top 10 in about 6 categories. Okay. So we're very proud of that. Kills us in scheduling. Because if you want to increase your net, as you know, you get a bye game and you try to win it by 40.
Yep.
That's the recipe. Am I right? I'm not going to call out any names. That's how it works, right? So when you look at Morehead State and you look at their scores, you look at their KenPom, you look at how they win basketball games, and you say, "Holy cow, these guys might hold us to 62 points." Hang up the phone. Don't call them. So that kills us. So although we play a recipe that allows us to, you know, have totally different roster each and every year, it allows us to win 26 games and put us in a position that we're in right now. It's extremely difficult when it comes time to build your schedule and ultimately build your resume for Selection Sunday.
That was an incredible answer. And I think I'm pretty knowledgeable on this stuff. I hadn't even thought about you can't get a hotel if you're playing on a Thursday night, you know, at Alabama because the hotels have been booked. And so that is incredible. I had not even thought about all of that. You know, you mentioned earlier, but you have the conference player of the year, Riley Minix. He was unbelievable, really all tournament, but certainly in the championship game. For people who didn't get a chance to watch the OVC championship game or haven't seen your team much, just tell us a little bit about what they'll see when you guys take the court in the NCAA tournament.
Well, first of all, you're going to see an older group of guys. You know, we start 5 seniors, and only one of those is a true senior. That's our point guard, Andrew Thelwell, who's in his 4th year here at Morehead State. He's also the all-time winningest player at Morehead State. He's top 10 in the nation right now in assist. He broke the single-season record for assist here at Morehead State. And the other 4 guys are 5th-year seniors, fifth and 6th-year seniors. So we have some older guys. You know, we're still benefiting from that COVID year and finding a way to navigate that portal. And so it's brought us guys like Jordan Lathan, combo guard, who's in his 6th year of college basketball, you know, due to injuries and COVID. And he was first team all OVC this year. Phenomenal player, can score it all over the place. And then we have at the 3, a guy named Khalil Thomas. Was an all tournament performer down in the tournament. And he's, I would argue, he's one of the best shooters in the country. And it does a phenomenal job for us. And has really just made a huge leap from last season to this one. Then we got Riley Minix, Mr. Kind of Everything. You know, he's a 6'7", 240-pound guard / forward. He shoots almost 40% from the 3. He can score inside. He shoots 90 from the line. You know, he's a walking double-double. He's 10th in the nation in double-doubles this year. And then we've got a 7-footer named Deontay Miles, who's a 5th-year senior from right here in Kentucky, transfer from Xavier. And so you know, we're going to play extremely hard. You know, it's funny to always hear the announcers saying things like, man, you know, Morehead State's going to slow it down here. They're going to grind it out. You know, we're going to play a way that helps us win. And we play extremely efficiently. And we're going to guard you. We're going to defend at an extremely high level. We're going to pick our chances to run whenever we do. But we share the basketball. You know, we're top 20 in the nation in assisted field goal rate. We don't take bad shots. We run some really nice stuff, but we got some really good players. We're going to get up a high amount of threes. And on, you know, any given night, you know, we're going to take 30 threes, and a combination of making and rebounding 18 of those is usually our recipe for success.
So Riley Minnick, so I think it's interesting, right? So Jordan Lathan, I believe, was committed to Northwestern at one point. I don't know if he ever played there. And so power five guy, whatever. You mentioned Deontay Miles, Xavier, power five guy, power six guy, whatever. Riley Minnick comes from the NAIA level. Why I bring it up, so again, and I hate to put you in this spot, but it feels like we talk about this sport through, you know, the blue blood prism, the power conference prism. I was just thinking about this. How many guys do you guys have to evaluate in the portal? I mean, you're going from Xavier to NAIA and it probably everything in between, where it's like, again, you know, again, I hate to do it, but you know, if Kentucky needs a player, they're probably looking at, you know, one spot that they need to fill, you know, five guys for the spot. And, you know, like, I don't know. I find roster building interesting, but especially your level where, you know, like I said, that, you know, Kentucky's probably not going to take a guy that didn't play in the power conferences or whatever, or isn't a recruit they're not familiar with. How many guys are like portal's going to open here in what, a week, literally? How many guys are you looking at when that thing opens?
You know, it's a moving target, right? That's a great question, especially for us. You know, we've got another couple weeks, you know, with our season here. So we don't know who's leaving our roster right off the bat. You know, obviously, you know who you're going to lose due to graduation, but you've got guys who have an opportunity to come back. You've got guys that have an opportunity to leave. And so we'll kind of cross that bridge when we get there. But you're exactly right. You know, the wide range of players that can help you win at this level is it's just more, right? It's significantly bigger than what it is as you go up to the SEC and the Big 12 level. And so, you know, at the end of the day, it comes down to, you know, figuring out the value in players. That's what it comes down to. And so, you know, you look at what we've been able to do. We've had back-to-back NAIA players who have been all conference for us. Last year was Alex Gross, who was first team all OVC and defensive player of the year. Played 4 years of NAI and then came here with us. And then obviously now Riley. And so that's a market for us. Right. And it's a helpful that we've had success with that because, you know, those players who want to make that jump to the Division I level, they want it to translate. And for every Alex Gross or Riley Minnick who's made that jump, you know, to the Division I level, there's probably 10 guys that made that jump and didn't have that type of success translate. And so at the end of the day, it still comes down to fit. You know, people say, how have you guys, you know, been able to evaluate and navigate the portal? You know, that's what it comes down to. You know, you got to find value in guys. Every player is missing something. Okay. That's just the way that it is. And whether you're high school players, it's NAI guys, it's Division I transfers coming, you know, a level up, down, or a lateral level, whatever it is, you have to figure out what value they have. What are they missing? And then can you offset that? And then ultimately, you know, I think the thing with the portal, Aaron, is every kid is getting in there because they're looking for something different, you know, and it's our job as a staff to figure out if what they're looking for lines up with what we value and what we need. And oftentimes when you're dealing with a wide spectrum of players, as you mentioned, the answer is typically no. So you got to be okay with that and you got to move on and you got to quickly in a real hurry, you got to move down your list because it goes extremely fast. The part I don't like about recruiting as much in the portal is it's very transactional. You call a recruit, you have a conversation with them. And in the very beginning conversation, it almost needs to sound like, hey, this is Coach P at Morehead State. This is our program. This is what we do. This is what we're looking for. We need a guy that can do this. We're not talking NIL. It's not a part of our deal here. So if that's something that's a priority for you, let me know right now, because I don't want to waste your time And you don't want to waste mine because the clock is ticking for both of our futures and our success. Now, if what we're talking about, what we have to offer lines up with what you're looking for, I'd love to get to know you and talk about building a relationship and filling the gaps from everything that you haven't had at your last place in college basketball. Because what we do here is a real connection with guys and a real fulfillment. And if that doesn't interest you, let me know, because we're in for that. So that's kind of how it goes.
That's incredible. So the producer, my producer of this show, great guy, Matt, is an Auburn grad. He is very appreciative of everything that you guys have. You had a chance. So Jahni Broom, their star player, who statistically people believe is one of the best players, you know, in college basketball, not just statistically, he is. Have you had a chance to follow at all what he's done these last couple of years at Auburn?
Oh, without question. We watch every Auburn game. We really do. I've got, you know, my family, we have notifications set for all of our guys that are playing at that level. I have the picture right behind me. There's the big guy right there, you know,
love it.
Spreading his eagle wings, not his war eagle wings. Those are his more in-state eagle wings. But yeah, I mean, we love those guys. We support them, you know. I sat in his living room with his family. His family was here in my home having dinner, and it doesn't change, right? If it changes because they wear a different color jersey, then shame on you, right? You're in this for the wrong reason. And so there's not a bigger Jahni Broom fans out there than the guys that love him and coach him. We text him every week. We talk to him. He's thrilled that we're in this position right now. You know, he knows he was a part of this, and he knows how special it is when you're here. And so, we've got Talon Cooper was our point guard on our NCAA tournament team that he's at South Carolina right now. And we've got Tajon Claude's at Georgia Tech and so on and so forth. And hey, we love those guys. We talk to them all the time and text with them, and we're excited for them when they have success. And so, you know, that's how it should be, right? I don't think you can sit in a kid's living room and be real and be authentic if you're not going to have that approach when they move on and go somewhere else. It's just the way things are right now. And, so we're happy for those guys. You know, we talk to them, and his progression has been phenomenal. The rate at which Jahni got better when he was here, from this summer to the, you know, this time, his freshman year when we were going to the NCAA tournament, was just astronomical. And you could put so much stock into the rate at which players get better. And that's why his stock is extremely high, because even since he's gone to Auburn, he's continued to get better. And that's why he's a premier player.
Fantastic. I know you got to run, so I'll just leave you with this. What is the next step for you guys? Do you guys follow Bracketology? Are you trying to figure out who you could potentially be playing, or are you just, hey, we'll worry about the next opponent on Sunday when we figure it out? Because I feel like, you know, you kind of have an idea of a 6-7 team window that you'll probably be facing up with. What is the next step for you guys? And do you even try to project who you might be playing that first game?
Yeah, it's funny. I was on the phone with my staff, and they were like, hey, you know, Bracketology's got us playing in Omaha against Baylor. And I said, well, get our GA on it. I want him to watch all the Baylor. And he's like, are you serious? I said, no, I'm not serious. I don't care. I care about us. I've got an unbelievable staff. Like, these guys are phenomenal, especially when it comes to scouting in a hurry. And, getting a game plan together and then conveying that to our players in an efficient way, and being able to build up a specific set of habits for an opponent. We've been able to do that at a high level. We really have. And so we're going to focus on us. We're going to enjoy our championship. We're going to get better. And then once we know, you know, Sunday night, we'll be grinding away, putting a game plan together. And if we get, we get 3-4 days to prepare for opponent, that'll be enough for us.
He is the head coach, Morehead State Eagles, OVC champs. And this was awesome, man. I think if you're a college basketball fan, I think you learned a ton of what it's like at the OVC level, running a program at that level. And this was fun. A lot of time spent. So thank you for your time, coach. I know it's very valuable this time of year. And we'll be watching. I don't know if it's Omaha, but wherever you guys are, we'll be watching. All right.
Oh, man. Appreciate it, Aaron. Thanks so much. And we'll see you in the NCAA tournament.
All right, everybody. I'm back. Going to be back. So here is the deal. First of all, big thank you to Morehead State coach Preston Spradlin. I thought that was some really cool perspective. What does a team do
during this week off. He clinches the tournament bid. I thought it was interesting. You know, producer Matt is an Auburn fan, him talking about his relationship with Jani Broome, with Talon Cooper, who plays for South Carolina. So really fun interview. Really appreciate Coach Spradlin stopping by Morehead State. We'll find out where they play next week. Before we get out of here, you know, really quickly, I'm really torn on what I should do here. First of all, poured myself a little cold beverage while we were waiting. And by the way, I see Pat Turnbow says, great interview. Thank you. Coach Spradlin was awesome. I appreciate it. But poured myself a little drink thinking the show was done. And I saw pseudo late breaking news. I don't know how deep we want to go on this today. Jeff Goodman and Pete Thamel reporting that Kenny Payne will be fired in the next 24 to 48 hours. Listen, I don't go after other people in my business. You know, everybody's just trying to do a job. I don't really know that that's news. I mean, we all knew he's getting fired, right? I mean, it's not a matter of if, but when. I think what I will probably do is save the Kenny Payne, you know, deep dive, you know, whatever you want to call it, for when it becomes official. And I think we'll at that point, we'll kind of have the real conversation. I think there are some legitimate candidates that will accept or be interested in the Louisville job. But listen, man, the guy still has a job. I mean, if he hasn't talked to his AD yet, that's probably going to happen on Wednesday. We will talk about it on tomorrow's show. But again, we know it's coming. I don't know that it's news that he is expected to be fired in the next 24 to 48 hours. So we know it's coming. It hasn't been good. 12-52. I think Kenny Payne, you know, hasn't done himself any favors with some of his media stuff over the last couple weeks, where even after the game on Tuesday, basically was trying to blame everybody but himself. Oh, you know, I told you we needed 3 or 4 years and you guys decided not to listen, blah, 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 blah. Kenny Payne reportedly out, and we will get to it on Wednesday's show when it becomes official. But again, don't think there is that much to add right now. And I think out of respect to him, I don't, again, I'm not trying to criticize other people in my business, but I don't think saying expected to be out is a report. When he's fired, we'll talk about it. And so we'll wrap the show right now. If you're not subscribed to the Aaron Torres Pod, please make sure to do so. Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Music, wherever you get podcasts, make sure to subscribe. Make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel. Click that little subscribe button. Really do appreciate your support. Appreciate all of you who came in early, who stuck with the Preston Spradlin interview. It was awesome, and he was great. Make sure you're subscribed. Apple, Spotify, follow on social media as the ticker tells you. Aaron_Torres on Twitter, Aaron Torres Pod on Instagram. Aaron Torres podcast questions at gmail.com for the show. Oh, by the way, I've plugged everything else, so I might as well mention this too. March is for day drinking, baby. March is for day drinking. Grab yours, order yours now. It is the official opening week of the tournament shirt. And it is the best way to, you know, you want to support me. There's a number of ways to do it, but you can go ahead and find that AaronTorresOnline.com/merchandise as you see on the ticker. So I'll tell you what, we're going to get out of here. I will be back Wednesday night live from Vegas. We'll have a lot to react to. Probably some bubbles will be burst. So I will see you then. Shout out to Torrent Craig. Shout out to Rachel, who hates my voice. Shout out to JJ Redick, you F-head. Unblock me, bro. I will be back tomorrow from Vegas if I make it. If I make it till 8 p.m., we'll see what happens. City gets the best of you sometimes. I'll see everybody tomorrow. Appreciate everybody's support. Talk then.